Hello, football fans, and welcome to this edition of the Coach Laban DeLay Lamar Vikings Coaches Show. I'm Bill Frawley, and with me, of course, is Lamar Viking head football coach Laban DeLay. Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, good. Well, after an open weekend, the Vikings are going to carry a 2-1 record into district play, but this is where everything basically starts over because now the playoffs are in play, and everything starts again with a clean slate for the most part with the district. What's the basic approach right now, Coach?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. We talked to the kids about if we have a clean slate, you know, and so does everybody else. So you can throw those preseason or non-district records out the window. Everybody's 0-0 right now, 0-0, and we start district, we kick off and start district 4-6A on Thursday night, and everybody else in our district will play Friday night. So we're awfully excited to get district play going, but there's a lot more at stake now.
Okay. Well, Coach, what has the team worked on during the past week preparing for this Thursday's game against Sam Houston over at Wildman Field?
Well, our focus, really three different areas. One is academics. You know, that's first and foremost. And so we took a couple of days last week during our bye week to focus on going to tutorials and really hitting the books and visiting teachers and making sure that our grades are where they need to be. Second thing is we made sure those bumps and bruises that have been nagging for the last several weeks, we tried to heal those up. And so we got treatment two or three times a day for those that needed it. And then lastly, we focus on the fundamentals, you know, going back to the roots and making sure that everything that we taught last spring and fall camp, that we're not trying to over-scheme our opponents and really focusing on fundamentals. So those three areas are really the three that we focused on last week during the off week.
Well, that sounds like a great way to spend that time. Quite a few different things, but all very beneficial. I'm sure the parents and especially the teachers appreciate those couple of days making sure everything's up to par on the academic side because they are student-athletes, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So that's a priority for us.
Okay. Well, hey, I've got a couple of questions since we don't have a game this past weekend to talk about. There's two place kickers on the varsity team. What led to the one kicker doing the kickoffs and the other kicker doing the field goals and extra points?
Well, you know, it comes down to competition, and then and a lot of people don't know this, but we have a third kicker that has been injured, and he is healthy and going to come back in the mix this week. So we're excited to have even more competition at the kicking position. But you know, it comes down to everybody has an opportunity for, you know, the field goal and PAT as well as the kickoff. And we kind of have a little kickoff every week and see who's going to win that job. And so far it's kind of been split where one does one, as you mentioned, the other one does the other. So with that and Luke Mickey to the mix, you know, it adds that competition. And I think that can only make us better at that position.
Sure enough. Well, that's a great dynamic process where now there's three in the mix, and I guess you keep it an actively competitive process then, sounds like.
Yeah, we try to, and, you know, that keeps the kids from getting complacent and think that they're entitled to something. They have to go earn it every week, and if they don't earn it in practice, then they don't get the reward of kicking during the game. So it's been really good, and they root for each other. You know, it's not a nasty competition. You know, they truly care about each other and care about the team and the well-being of the team. So it is a healthy competition between all three of them.
Well, that's great insight into one more way that it's a whole team effort. And so another thing I've been noticing, and some people have talked to me about it during the season, it seems like at least at first glance, there's maybe an unusually high number of two-way players, especially on a 6A team, guys playing offense and defense. Am I right on that, or do you think you have the same number of guys playing both sides of the line scrimmage as other teams that are 6A?
No, I think that we are a little unique in that respect, that I truly believe that there is some athletes that can work on both sides of the ball and benefit the team. And am I come from my small school upbringing. You know, I mean, I started out at the 5A level and then became a head coach at a 1A, 2A school where, you know, those guys had to be Ironmen. Whenever you carry 30-something kids on your varsity, some kids don't come off the field. I mean, my quarterback was my free safety, and the running back was the middle linebacker, and the defensive end was an offensive tackle. And so I think that has something to do with it, but I truly believe that that adds depth to your team. And even if I can be a backup on one side of the ball and starter on the other side of the ball, it adds depth to those positions that are needed. As for the offensive line and defense line, we really don't like to cross them over too much. But for the skilled guys that that can manage it, and that we have to help manage their reps as well, make sure that they don't get too winded. But, you know, our guys, we take pride in conditioning, and our guys, we feel like they can go both sides of the ball, and they're contributing both sides of the ball and special teams. You know, you can't forget about that special team phase either, because a lot of those starters on offense and defense are on our special teams as well.
That's true. I've noticed that also. That's a good point to bring up. There's a third side of the line of scrimmage, so to speak, or a third unit out there, and some of them are playing on that. And you mentioned your coaching experience at the smaller school levels, and it made me think of when I lived in Fort Stockton and Monahans out in West Texas, seeing those smaller schools. And, yeah, there was those some of those guys. They were the quarterback, they were the punter, they were the free safety or whatever else. So it's kind of a nice throwback seeing some of our guys at the 6A level doing that. So. Well, I've got one more question for – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've got one more question for you, at least for now. So another question people have been talking about sometimes is what goes into making a good deep snapper? That seems to be a position sometimes that's overlooked in terms of the glamour. But, my gosh, if that doesn't come off right, whether it's for a punt or a field goal or a PAT, things aren't going to go well. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we have been blessed with one that, you know, that was his primary role last year, and Eric backed up at outside linebacker, and now he is playing quite a bit of defense, and he's a luxury, someone that can get it back there so quick and so accurate. But the thing that I think, and you're right, it's overlooked quite a bit, but I think the thing that is really – good about Eric and those guys that are the good short end deep snappers is the mental side of it. You know, getting in a rhythm and having that same habit, practice habit, so it becomes second nature in the game, because it, you know, you've seen it already this year where there are several teams that are snapping it over the punter's head or in the dirt for a PAT or a field goal, and it gives us an opportunity to go capitalize on their mistakes. So we don't take it for granted. Eric and the other short and deep snappers, they work it every day. And, again, Coach Farden, our special teams coordinator, does a great job of teaching the technique. But it's a lot of it has to do with the mental part of it and getting your mind right and creating it where it just becomes second nature whenever you flip it back there.
Well, that's good. And like you say, what a luxury. And I guess it's Eric DeBrill that's been doing that so far this season. A skilled baseball player also. I remember watching him on the diamond back in the spring.
Yeah.
So that's good to know.
He's one of our multi-sport athletes that we highly encourage at Lamar High School, and we're just so proud of him and the others that are, you know, we got some kids out of the gym that have played basketball the last couple of years that are with the football program now, and then the baseball kids and obviously the track kids. So we promote that. A multi-sport athlete, and it's just a great experience for the kids.
Well, that's great. Well, so the first district game in the playoff race is going to be this Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. at Wildman Field against the Sam Houston Texans. The Vikings, we need a lot of fan support. Let's make the trip across town and root for those Vikings to take care of the Texans and start District 1-0. Until next time, I'm Bill Frawley.
And I'm Laban DeLay.
Saying BFMD. Mm-hmm.